Yeah, once we had their details, once we had their email addresses, and we were able to communicate with them more regularly, directly to them, we were able to push a few membership offers, and we got, like I say, great response. So 30 odd new members directly through what we did there. I think the big thing is that we're reaching a target audience as well that they've never been able to get to. And, you know, getting a lot of new people saying, you know, or I might have played there once 10 years ago, or I might have played there a couple of times, but, you know, because you're actively going out and speaking to them and engaging with them, you're always the first choice when they actually think about whether they want a membership or whether they want to play the next round and things like that. So,
hello and welcome to episode one of the Golf Pro Marketers podcast. I'm James Wilkinson, and today I've got Sam Paul, who's manager of League Golf Club, on the line. He's going to talk to us about how to use digital marketing and Facebook in particular to help find new members and other revenue streams at a golf club. How are you doing today, Sam?
Yeah, good. Thanks, James. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming on board the first ever episode of the Golf Pro Marketers podcast. So
exciting.
Pleasure having you on. And this podcast is all about basically how golf pros and golf clubs, managers and people in the industry can use digital marketing, especially Facebook, which we focus on a lot because we use it a lot, and how we can use those services and those platforms to find new customers and find new members, which you've done an amazing job on so far at Lee. Yeah. And that's why I thought you'd be a great first candidate or first guest on the show. So let's just jump straight into them. And just why don't you tell us a bit more about your background and how you got into golf?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've always played golf since I was about 6 years old. I initially, when I left school, I went to university. I trained as an accountant, so I did AAT qualification and worked for a pensions company near home. But then I sort of quickly realised that the accountancy wasn't for me, and my passion for golf, really, I just wanted to work in the golf industry. So I decided to leave a well-paid job, and I took the risk, and I went to Myersco College in Preston and did a golf management degree there. So from there, I got a couple of jobs at local driving ranges, Trafford Golf Centre, Oxenham Driving Range. And then the job came up at Sale Golf Club for me to do their bookkeeping. So fortunately, my accountancy background came in favour there. And then I just moved up through the ranks at Sale, became club manager within a few months, and worked hard to get the club, you know, sort of back up to where it needed to be. And then recently just moved on to Lee Golf Club about 3 months ago. And I've just sort of implemented the same techniques there, really.
Yeah, okay. So that's what I'd like to talk about today, is what you did at Lee. Because so we met in 2015, and you were actually, Sale was one of the first clubs that I started working with.
Yeah.
With Albatross Digital Golf to find new members using Facebook. But I want to, you know, we got good success there, but I want to talk to you about what you've taken on board at Lee. Because, you know, you've had a lot of success finding new members since you joined there. Well, you've been there 3 months, is it?
Yeah, just over 3 months now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you talk us through the success that you've had at Lee to find new members using you took the GoPro Marketers course and learned a lot from the lessons on that. Just
talk
us through the success you've had.
Yeah, no problem. Well, like I say, just over 3 months, we've had 48 new members come in that time. It was, I'd say, at least 30 of those members can be directly attributed to the stuff that I've done through Facebook and then digital marketing. It's the other ones, it's difficult to actually quantify whether they've come directly through it, but there's every chance they've seen what we've done. They're on our email list and things like that. So, from what I learned from yourself, certainly working with you for a while at Sale and then taking the course that you set up, basically what we did was we sort of put out a Facebook competition, an initial hook. The original one was to win a four-ball voucher. And in our area, it was quite an original thing, you know, looking at the competition around, nobody was really doing anything. So we got a really good response. Literally, I think I put about £15 behind the Facebook advert. And we just asked people to give their email address. So when they clicked onto the landing page through the Facebook competition, we went onto a landing page, gave them a bit of information about the club, what we had on offer, And then I asked them to give their details. And then, yeah, once we had their details, once we had their email addresses and we were able to communicate with them more regularly, directly to them, we were able to push a few membership offers and we got, like I say, great response. Sort of 30-odd new members directly through what we did there.
Yeah, yeah, wow, that's incredible. And so you, let's go back. So you said you spent £15 on,
yeah,
on Facebook ads to get those 30 members.
Pretty much, yeah. I think, I mean, obviously, since I've spent a little bit more and sort of boosted some posts on there as well. Yeah. Again, it's all stuff I've learned through myself through the course. And yeah, just really getting the basics of Facebook right and making sure that we're engaging with people and, you know, everything we put out there is good professional material, basically.
Yeah, okay. And so all right, let's how much is do you mind me asking how much a membership is worth to the club?
No, that's fine. Well, full membership, 7-day membership at least, £972.
Right. So, you know, 972 times 30, even just the ones directly attributed, yeah, from...
They weren't all 7-day, but I'd say, I think about 15 of them were 7-day members. So we've got a mix of six and 7-day, and also 3-day as well.
So is that what I mean? Say average, what, 750 then, say?
Yeah, say 750.
I mean, these are ballpark figures, but, you know, that's £22,500 in revenue. That's just for year one as well. So yeah, these guys, I'm guessing, will stay... The lifetime value of a member there will be a lot more than 1 year. So,
yeah. Well, we hope so.
See how they get on. But you could quadruple that number. You know, that could be, theoretically, there's £100,000 worth of business there. People don't seem to understand that, the actual lifetime value of a customer, not just the 1 year value of a customer.
Yeah, that's how I was always sort of calculate the return on the investment, because realistically, like you say, you know, if we can keep all of them for 4 or 5 years, you know, and they're paying near enough £1,000 a year, then you've also got the fact that, you know, if they're going to play in competitions on a Saturday, they're going to give the £3 each Saturday, buy a drink out of the pro shop, then they might come into the clubhouse, something to eat, have a drink there as well. So, you know, that can easily be, you know, you've got the 970 odd pounds for your membership fee, but that member can be worth £1,300-1,400 a year to the club.
Yeah.
And as you go on in the lifetime value of that member, you know, if you can keep them for 10 years, you can get, what, £13,000-14,000 out of that one person.
And you're spending £15 on
Facebook. That's it. That's it.
Not a bad return on your investment. What social networks then do you find the best, you've been getting the best results from? Do you use Twitter?
We do use Twitter, but I think we use Twitter more than anything just to sort of keep our name out there almost and keep raising awareness through Twitter.
Yeah.
Find Twitter's can be a little bit hit and miss. So, you know, I don't focus too much time on there, but I do just, you know, sort of continually put regular posts on there just to keep our name out there and just in the hope that people see that on Twitter.
Yeah, but you struggle to find I always find with Twitter that it's hard to justify the time you spend on it in comparison to Facebook, where, you know, you can with the advertising side of Facebook, you can really get to work out how much your efforts that you put into it are getting returned by new customers, basically new clients, where it's harder to do that with Twitter.
No, I don't.
Okay, so what sort of budgets do you put into an ad campaign? Say, like, for those, you put £15 in and to generate all those new email leads. But then after that, what do you spend roughly on a weekly basis on Facebook ads?
It really depends what I'm trying to push out there, to be honest. I say, on average, I probably spend about £10 a week at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, the club's got a tight marketing budget that I've had to work with. But to be fair, with that level of return, like you say, you know, the club could spend an awful lot more on marketing and it would, you know, we could do a hell of a lot more. But at the moment it's small sort of pieces of money there, £10-15 a time. That's how we go about it, really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. And what do you think the golf industry is doing wrong when it comes to social media as a whole, like people getting behind it? What do you think is holding people back from actually going out there and doing it?
I think for me, again, you know, it does come back to the golf industry is slow to change with the times. It is very slow to react to new things coming out. And I think I have an advantage in that respect, being a young general manager, that I have my finger on the pulse with it. You know, I've sort of grown up with social media. I'm comfortable using it. I'm comfortable knowing what I can put out there for people to see and read. But generally, I did a presentation at Leigh to the members a couple of days ago. And as part of that, I was doing some research on England golf. And I saw on there that 75% of clubs were using social media. Now, I think even that, you know, England Golf saying that type of statistic, 75% might have a Facebook page and a Twitter page and might be posting once a week.
Yeah.
But huge difference between posting your competition results once a week or posting a photo of the lady captain compared to how I've been using it and you've been using it as well, in terms of engaging with new customers, a new audience. So I think that's the main side of things. I think golf clubs generally, out of that 75% that have got Facebook and have got social media, probably 5% of them are actually using it effectively.
Yeah.
So that's the way I sort of think. You know, it's again, it's just slow moving with the times, really, and a bit of a lack of understanding of what you can actually get out of social media if you put a bit of time and a bit of effort into it.
Well, I think what you've done really well is you have a call to action. So you have an actual plan and a strategy with your social media campaign. So like you say, you're not just posting ad hoc of pictures, photos of the course and lady captains. You actually have a goal of, you know, collecting people's email addresses. And then once you've got that email address, actually using it on a regular basis, not just having it on a database and then blasting that every fortnight with, you know, your special offers and just a regular old newsletter that no one really opens anymore these days. So having a call to action and an actual campaign that's structured is how, well, it's how we always get our results and generate the big return on investments and the you know, the multiple sort of double figure members and new members that way, by actually when we're using Facebook, actually putting some advertising behind it. And I think what a big problem is that a lot of people don't understand that organic reach on Facebook and the days of being able to create Facebook pages and get lots of people liking your page without actually having to put any budget behind it are long gone. And so it's very rare that you will get people creating pages and getting tons of organic reach without having to put any advertising budget. I mean, basically, Facebook is now a pay-to-play platform in the same way as Google AdWords is, in terms of, you know, you want to get your product at the top of Google, you have to pay for it. And that's what Facebook essentially is now. And I don't think many people understand that. I mean, obviously, because it's not particularly obvious, but it's almost, you know, to some degrees, posting without putting any advertising budget is almost, you know, a bit pointless.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you know, we still put generic posts on there, but they are all aimed to get people engaging with the post, get people used to seeing our page, like, you know, liking it, commenting on it and things like that. And it almost becomes, I don't know, not second nature to them, but, you know, they see a post from Leigh Golf Club and they know it's going to be interesting. So it's worth opening and it's worth watching if it's a video and things like that. So that's everything we put on there. It's not, nothing's aimless. It's all sort of planned and structured, really. Yeah.
Well, one thing that you could do actually, which helps with organic engagement, is to get people to follow your page. So, you know, on the page, there's that little follow button next to like. And if you ask people to follow your page, then it helps, because then they'll get a notification. Or actually, no, they'll see your posts first when you put them out there. So you've done a lot of video recently, I've been noticing. So have you been finding that's helped with engagement and getting more views or getting more people engaged with your content?
Yeah, definitely. I think I've done a few videos of myself talking, which isn't the most interesting sort of video in the world. But again, they've always got a bit of a point behind them, you know, and it's always sort of whether I'm sort of talking about a competition we've got running or a membership offer, a green fee offer. And it's basically just sort of, it's a different point of interest to, compared to, again, just putting a photograph up and a few words behind it. And generally, I've done some basic videos, but I think the lowest viewing figures I've had is about 1,700 people have viewed.
Wow.
And that was the worst performing video, basically.
Yeah.
But even simple things like slideshows of pictures, just because it's in a video format, people seem to like a lot better. Yeah.
So how much budget do you put behind a video?
I didn't put any. I've not put any budget behind.
You didn't even put budget?
Oh, no, I put budget behind one of them, and that got up to nearly 3,000 views, that did.
Wow.
But the other, I think I've done about three or four so far, and I've only put budget behind one of them.
Yeah. And what, so do, I think what a lot of people find or don't know as well is that Facebook is massively prioritizes video content over image-based content these days. So that's why your viewing figures on video or your engagement on video gets a lot more organic engagement from the likes. Because Facebook prioritizes that type of content over more traditional photo and text content. But also, do you ever use Facebook Live? Is that something?
I've not used it yet, but only because I've not quite got the confidence yet to, those videos have taken me a few takes to do generally. Yeah. So, that is something that I have in my mind that, you know, a lot of golf clubs go out there and say, well, we've got the best greens and, you know, we've got this and we've got that, but my idea will be through the summer to go out and do Facebook Lives with our head greenkeeper and sort of have him talking about the greens and how quick they are on the stint meter and how true the rolling and things like that, and really just showing people how good the greens are, because it's all well and good having it on your website, best greens in the area or whatever, but it's a different sort of game altogether if you can go out there and show them exactly how good your greens are before they've even arrived to the club.
So it's that's a great example, actually, of you how to use Facebook Live is by going out there and actually, you know, doing a 10-minute video or 5-minute video of your facilities or your greens, like you said. And the beauty of Facebook Live is, like, whilst Facebook promotes video over image content, they actually promote Facebook Live over normal, regular uploading of video. So, you know, you'll get even more views from your Facebook Live than you will from just uploading a video from your hard drive or from your phone. You should really get into that, because I got one pro of our that we've been working with. He got 7,500 views on his video for £10 advertising budget. So it's like, you know, ridiculously cheap for what it is. And just also what it does is it keeps you top of mind as well.
Yeah.
So when people are looking to book around or looking to book a lesson, then they will, you know, they might have forgotten about you, and then suddenly they see this video crop up. And as long, if you're doing that week in, week out, when they are ready to purchase, you'll be the, you'll be the club of choice, hopefully. And so what are you looking at planning on in the future? Have you got any sort of campaigns in the future that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think we've got another membership. So we basically did a membership drive pretty much through most of March and April. We've had a little rest through May. The course has been great. The weather's been great. So it's been useful for us. You know, we've still done ticking over and put membership out there.
Yeah.
Haven't had a proper full drive on it. So I think, again, going into June, we've got another special offer coming up. Another thing that, you know, I've used very successfully is like a 3-month trial membership.
Yeah.
So we're going to be putting that forward through June, putting some budget behind that and trying to generate some interest in that. And also we're doing a lot for ladies golf as well. So we've got some taster sessions coming up in June and also like an academy membership as well. So I'll be in the process now of building the landing page for that. And then once I've got that sorted, you know, we'll put some budget behind it on Facebook. And again, the beauty of Facebook that I find is how easily you can target.
Ask about that. So tell us about what sort of interests you target and what sort of demographics you target on Facebook when you're running your ads.
Yeah, so I mean, generally with the ones that I've done so far, It has been for everybody. We wanted, you know, as much sort of interest as we could.
Yeah.
So it's literally been a broad spectrum. So our golf club is actually located in Culture Village. So within 10-mile radius of Culture Village, male and female aged 18 to 65 plus. And we have target anyone that's like the European Tour page, the PGA Tour page, other local golf courses, we can do that.
Yeah. So,
anything like that, Golf Monthly, Golf Digest, Rory McIlroy, anything that pops to people, like, you know, that have got an interest in golf.
Yeah.
That's where we've sort of really directed our traffic, basically.
And you just hit the little blue button, don't you? Like the boost button.
Yeah, keep it nice and simple. Just hit the boost post, and go through there. Yeah.
So, I mean, they make it so easy. It really is, like, once you do your first one or two, and, you know, you can get your head around it pretty quickly.
You can do. I think the big difficulty of it is actually having the time to do it yourself, particularly as a general manager, because, you know, I've gone into Lee and you know, sort of the main focus was, you know, a membership drive early in the season and just trying to get some new revenue in. So for me, I thought, well, that's the best way for me to spend my time. But literally when you've got pipes leaking and members coming in every 5 minutes asking you questions and all that type of thing, and everything you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis as a general manager, you know, it worked really well when we worked together at Sail, because obviously I outsourced it to Albatross, and it worked fantastic because I could be involved in setting up the campaigns with you, but you took care of all the day-to-day running of everything. And, you know, ultimately as a general manager, like I say, there's so many sort of things on your time and things on your mind as well. So it's good to be able to sort of push that to one side to someone else, really.
Yeah. Okay. But you've kind of picked it up pretty quickly. Being able to actually use it and generate a return on investment. And what? So when you show your member, your committee, were they impressed with the results?
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is that we're reaching a target audience as well that they've never been able to get to. And, you know, you're getting a lot of new people saying, you know, or I might have played there once 10 years ago, or I might have played there a couple of times. But, you know, because you're actively going out and speaking to them and engaging with them, you're always the first choice when they actually think about whether they want a membership or where they want to play the next round and things like that. So, you know, the other thing we did was a green fee advert where, again, I think I put £10-15 behind it. And we got 40 people on the green fee special offer at an average of £20 a person.
Jesus.
So, and that was in the space of, 2 weeks, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the committee of obviously, you know, 48 new members in 3 months, it's hard to really argue with that side of it.
Okay, great. And so, let's wrap things up. Mm-hmm. If you were to give some advice to someone who was looking to get into Facebook advertising today and wanted to start a campaign, and, you know, probably, like, I guess the Holy Grail, you know, attracts new members.
Yeah.
What would you recommend to them? What would be some advice you'd give them?
I think from the very start, I think it's got to be professional. I think if you put out a couple of dodgy campaigns, you know, sort of up front, people might not take it too seriously, and then it might be difficult to actually recover from that type of thing. So
yeah,
I would say, you know, go out and learn it. Make sure you know what you're doing. You know, there's plenty of material out there. Obviously, you're putting a lot out there as well that people can look at. People can just watch the videos, and you can pick up really how to do it quite quickly.
Yeah,
but you have to do it properly from the very beginning, I think. My advice would be just go out and learn it. Don't rush into it. You know, like I say, get a course on board or something like that. And then from there, once you've got a bit of confidence with it, then you can really start to push on it.
Yeah. I think you're right there. You can't do it by, you can't just sort of dip your toe in the water with it and expect results. You've got to kind of either go all in or...
Yeah. I think that's another thing, again, that golf clubs sort of, you know, they do it once or twice and then they don't see a return on it. And then if you just think, oh, well, you know, we have put a membership offer on Facebook, but nobody's responded.
Doesn't work.
like I say again about using it properly, that isn't, you know, that's not using it properly. And, you know, people need to understand that a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, great. Well, let's just recap on everything then. So you've got to have basically, like what we discussed, you know, you've got to have a strategy on board. Yeah. So a call to action, you know, put together what it is you're actually looking to achieve when you set out to do a Facebook campaign. Because otherwise you're just going to burn money and then you're going to, like we just said,
it doesn't work.
And yeah. Waste your time and all that. When, you know, we've case studies, endless case studies where it has worked, like, and this is one in your 48 new members, or 30 at least, that are attributed in 3 months, you know, proves that it does. So having a call to action, having a strategy, putting a campaign together that people actually want to engage with. And what I mean here is, like, you know, if your offers aren't working, people aren't clicking on them, and you're running advertising budget, the reason is because basically, you know, your people aren't interested in your offers. So you need to rethink what it is that you're putting out there, because if people aren't clicking on your adverts or giving you their email address, it's not because Facebook doesn't work. It's because your offer is not good enough or not enticing enough for them to swap that. So swap their email address with boosting your posts. So this is pivotal, obviously, as well. Like, so you got amazing results for just £15, but boosting your posts, so that is so simple to actually do now, and you can do it and find a post that you've got, so you know, run a competition to win a four ball or whatever it may be, and then make sure you collect that email address, so with a link or using Facebook's lead adverts, which you can do. It's a bit more technical that, but all you need to do is just click on that blue boost button and target people. So you know your targets are PGA Tour, European Tour, Rory McIlroy, Golf Monthly. You know, there's hundreds of different golf interests on there that Facebook knows their demographic, their users have those interests because they like their page. You put budget behind it. So what you set, I remember you saying you set, what, £15 for a week or so, was it? Or
yeah, something like £10-15 a week, yeah.
Okay, cool. And so once you've got those email addresses, you then email them. Make sure you actually bother to do something with those email addresses.
Yeah.
And then finally, get people through the door is kind of another thing. Is that what helped you massively through?
Green fee deal, like I say, you know, that got a lot of people through the door. And again, you know, if the course is good and in good condition and, you know, you can be there to welcome them, say hello, have a little chat with them, then they automatically feel comfortable of being around you, because you've almost broke down the barrier. And there's a lot of barriers in golf still that clubs need to be addressing. But through Facebook and through social media and through email, you can break down those barriers before they've even stepped foot on your premises.
Yeah.
Again, is another great way of, you know, all the emails I send are quite personalised, you know, they're all from me, Sam, you know, and I'll say, you know, look forward to having you down here at Lee and things like that. And they almost feel like they're speaking directly to me, even though it can just be a generic email.
Yeah.
Because it's so personalised, they feel like I'm emailing just them and saying, you know, I've got this deal just for you. And then that works really, really well.
I was going to ask about that, actually. So that those types of emails then, do you get a lot of responses and actual replies from people?
Yeah. Yeah, you do, because like I say, because it comes across as a very personal email to them.
Yeah.
You know, they are more inclined to just email me back saying, you know, hi Sam, thanks for your email. You know, even if they say, well, I can't attend like before the end of April or whatever, but I'd be interested in playing in May when I come back from holiday or something like that. And then you can get a dialogue going with them. And like I say, you know, they're comfortable with dealing with you straight away, rather than sometimes, again, you know, golf can have that stuffy image of, they're a bit worried about phoning up, or they don't get a very nice response when they email. And it's all that type of thing that needs to be built in as well.
So you're basically getting people to know, like, and trust you before they actually come through the door. And they know about your course, or they know about you as well. And, you know, through the campaigns that you're doing, they sort of start to like through the images and and trusting you that you know you're the right course for them. So
yeah,
but yeah, and then lastly, just to sort of end things off, it's got to be professional. So it's you the amount of times I see golf clubs posting these, you know, or on their websites, these stuffy old images or like these really low res images that do not sell the club. And actually, like socials media for a golf club, super easy because you know you've got in your pocket a camera that's better than any cameras that were around 5 years ago. That's, you know, everyone's got one these days.
Yeah,
you can take photos on them, and you can sort of edit those photos, upload them to Facebook in your pocket, or you know, live in real time. So there's no excuse really to having poor quality images, and I think that's a massive problem as well. Is you're not selling your course properly by just posting old images or putting out posts that just say, "Come on, we've got some green fees. Do you want to purchase them this weekend?"
And I think that's for me, that's marketing basics as well. Really, you know, having good quality images, because like you say, every golf club really their golf course is the number one asset.
Yeah, and
you wouldn't like I've done a blog post about it where you know Ford wouldn't try and sell a Ford Fiesta by putting a picture of a banged up Ford Fiesta on their website.
Yeah,
best possible picture of that car on their website. So why golf clubs don't have the best possible pictures of their golf course on the website absolutely amazes me. And the same as when, you know, when you're pushing them out onto social media.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Well, I think we've got through quite a lot there. I mean, people should hopefully get a much better understanding now of how they can use Facebook to find new members and, like, you know, the Holy Grail generate. You spend, like you did, £15 on Facebook ads and get 30 new members. Then, I mean, I can't even think about what sort of percentage ROI that is, but you know, it's got to be in the multiple thousands. So, incredible results that. So, yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for taking the time out to discuss this with us, Sam.
And
it's been a real pleasure having you on the first episode of the podcast. And if anyone is interested in finding out more about how Sam went about achieving these results, then all they need to do is click on the link. Be somewhere in the description somewhere, and go to the Albatross Digital Golf website, and there's tons of case studies and guides on there on how you can use Facebook advertising and other digital marketing techniques like emails, like landing page software, to find new members and other revenue streams. So awesome, nice one, Sam.
Cheers, James.
I'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you in
2 weeks time.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the Golf Pro Marketers podcast, brought to you by James Wilkinson, founder of Albatross Digital Golf. For more information on how to grow your golf business using Facebook advertising and digital marketing, visit www.albatrossdigitalgolf.com. Thank you for listening.